very little time. As I've learned from India speak, we have less time. We have very less time. You've heard that one? We have very less time. And a lot to cover in the time allotted. So I'd like to end when we're scheduled to end so that we'll have end the day with a wonderful kirtan. Just a refresh on the intention, as I spoke this morning, the intention of the festival of the holy name through the medium of different exhibitions of glorification, kirtan, japa, songs about the holy name, and as we're doing here, songs of how to surrender unto the holy name, how to enter more deeply into the holy name. The objective, the intention is, from wherever we are, to learn the art and the science and the inspiration to take deeper shelter of the holy name, surrender unto the holy name, access that gift that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to give, access the gift of love of God. So improve our sadhana, improve our day-to-day practices of accessing the holy name or approaching the holy name through this medium of surrender. We didn't get very far. As far as the details of these six principles of surrender, and with little more than an hour to go through all of these, it's just going to be able to touch on the topic, not so much go so deeply, but try to following Jiva Goswami in his teachings on the surrendering process, surrendering to Krishna process, following his teaching to go through these six principles. We started, we touched on the first one, Dainya, and we're going to go to this one and some of the other ones. So the first principle of surrender that he presents in his Sharanagati songs is this principle of Dainya, or humility. And in his Bhakti Sandarbha, this is a summary message, like a bullet point kind of thing, that Jiva Goswami presents. Humility, or karpanya, different term, that same as Dainya, karpanya, Dainya, same message. Two parts, which if you recall the songs that we heard from the humility section, there is no one more merciful than the Lord, there is no one more lamentable than me. We're good companions. As very similar to what Rupa and Sanatan said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you are the most merciful, and we're their best candidates because we're the most fallen. You're most merciful to the most fallen, and we're the best candidates because we're the most fallen. And then they recite their fallenness, the qualifications to be considered fallen, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has done. And he's going to continue doing that, as we'll see in this next section, the Atmanivedana section. So with humility, then comes this submission. And they're all parts of surrender, but specifically, this next one is submission. Atma Nikshepa. This is now directly from Jiva Goswami. Atma Nikshepa. Renouncing the false self, or renouncing the false ego. And he refers to this reference, Gautamiya Tantra. I do as I'm enjoined by the Lord, situated within my heart. So people that are spiritual these days, that's what they do. They follow their heart. It doesn't matter what direction it's going in. Vaisheshika Prabhu was describing, he was visiting in New York. Maybe you know that we just had our Rath Yatra in New York. And just before Rath Yatra, where's Sarvakanti? Is she here? Yeah, you're here. So some of the devotees that were with Manaram's bus group, they had the privilege and honor of Vaisheshika Prabhu's association for 3 days? 3 days. Full day. 3 full days with Vaisheshika Prabhu. What a privilege. And, you know, inspiration and then go out and application of that inspiration, distributing books and on Harinam. And they also had Badahari's association on Harinam Sankirtan. Yay. And nice experience. So he was sharing with me on the streets of New York. Somebody approached him wearing his dhoti and said in classic New York style, "So, you're enjoying being in the moment?" It's a Buddhist phrase, in case you didn't know. Being in the moment without the detail. He said, "Sure, in the moment is Krishna here, have one of these." So, this message, this is Gotamiya Tantra, of course, our checks and balances, Prabhupada called it, as Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. If there's inspiration from the heart, we hold that up to the light of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra and see if it shines through. And if not, we dismiss it. But the principle is submission. Atma can mean the soul, commonly means the soul, but can also mean the body or the mind. So it's the dedication of body, mind, and soul. He then, Jiva Goswami quotes from Brahma Vaivarta Purana, "The Lord is easily accessible for those who renounce ahankar. For those with ahankar, there's a mountain range between them and the Lord." It's right in the old. Madhye parvata rashayaha. A mountain range between them and the Lord. Then the other, ahankara nivritanam keshava na hi durgaha. Durga. Very difficult. Not durga. It's not difficult. To attain keshava, to attain the Supreme Lord, for one who has renounced false ego, well, how do you renounce false ego? The answer is bhakti. Given the time, I can't elaborate too much, but exactly that is what Kapila Dev tells Devahuti. Devahuti, paraphrasing, "I know the philosophy. We're spirit soul, we're not this body. But the spirit soul is so implicated in matter. Even if we have knowledge, and with knowledge some detachment, and then we do right action, wait a while. We're so implicated in matter, we become absorbed in matter again. Is it really possible? Is it really, really possible to be detached from matter? We're too implicated." And Kapila Dev says, "Yes. Bhakti dissolves false ego." Yay. No more false ego. Easier said than done. Because it has to be Shuddha Bhakti. Oh. Well, we're practicing to get to Shuddha Bhakti. Unless you're not practicing to get to Shuddha Bhakti, you're practicing to get mitigation of the things you don't like and get some of the things you like. Then you won't mitigate. You may mitigate your miseries, but you won't dissolve false ego. And then there's this mountain between you and the Lord. So it takes strong, tivra bhakti to get to that position. And then Jiva Goswami, you saw this slide before. I told you you'd see it again. Namaha, he quotes Padma Purana, essentially saying, Namaha means no false ego. I will not act on this platform of false ego. Again, easier said than done, because we're so accustomed to it. We're so conditioned by it. We're attached to it. We think it's us. And then even if you start to think, well, it's not me, then it's definition by negation, and who are we? So how do you live your life in conscious sadhana, in conscious shelter of the Supreme Lord? Well, bhakti dissolves that false ego. It's desire, again with the message of the six principles of surrender. It's the dedication, Braja Bhakti. It's the dedication to the relationship with the personality of Godhead that takes away, has the power to take away false ego, and then you're free. So this dedication of body, mind, and words, Atma Nivedana, or Atma Nikshepa, saying, I am yours. That's this Mamata message. Quoting Hari Bhakti Vilas, saying, I am yours. Knowing this in the mind and taking shelter of the Lord's places with the body, the surrendered soul experiences joy. Meaning the happiness which we're hankering for can be accessed. The hankering which the soul wishes, that the yenatma suprasediti message of the Bhagavatam. When we come to that position that there isn't some other shelter, just Krishna's shelter, there's a happiness that one can experience. By this saying, and, you know, saying again and saying again, and then it becomes your existence. I am yours. And if we say, I am yours, don't object when Krishna does something that wasn't your plan. Or, I like the phrase, when you surrender unto Krishna, it means it's on his terms. Now, I surrender to Krishna and I have my expectations. And if Krishna doesn't do it the way that I was expecting, I've got an issue. I'm tapping my foot saying, Krishna, you didn't do it right. Well, let's try again, Krishna. It's supposed to go like this. Krishna, you didn't get it right. And we get frustrated. So the medicine, using the language of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the bitter neem of tribulation is sometimes a medicine that we require. We don't like the bitter medicine, but we don't like the disease either, the disease of material existence. And the physician is expert, the medicine is expert, and we just need to be willing patients and say yes and take the medicine. And continue functioning, dedicating ourselves, body, mind, and words, to Krishna's service. Then we can experience that umbrella that protects one from the shower of miseries and then showers down the nectar of the bliss of one's relationship with Krishna. And I like this in particular, this idea of the absence of surrender or the presence of false ego means thinking of oneself independent of Krishna. And at least in the translation of Bhanu Swami, there's this equivalent of pride. The Sanskrit word, I made it real big letters, is prataktvam. The syllable tvam means having the quality of. There's a certain Sanskrit name for that kind of ending. I forget what it is. Namtiv or something like that. Possessing the quality of pratak. Pratak means separate, like bina. Or a separate. Prabhupada translates in the Bhagavatam as a separatist. Someone who is engaging in bhakti, influenced by passion, or bhakti influenced by ignorance. There's different terms that are used by Kapila Dev, chapter 29 of Canto 3, and different Sanskrit terms, but seeing oneself as existing separate. I'm meant for enjoyment. That's not necessarily Krishna's enjoyment. But it makes me happy, and so I do it because it makes me happy. But it doesn't make one happy. It makes one a separatist, or makes one independent, falsely independent, and proud. And that the message here, third canto, chapter 9, as long as people see only the condition of the jiva's body possessing the strength of the Lord's maya in the form of sense objects, the jiva's material existence, though insubstantial, will not be destroyed. As long as we're thinking in terms of the body, and we have an interest separate from the Lord's interest, although samsara or bodily existence is insubstantial, it will continue indefinitely. It will not be destroyed. We'll continue the struggle. Mama maya doratyaya. Mamevaye prapadyante. Maya metam tarantite. Very simple. Surrender to Krishna, material existence finished. Don't surrender to Krishna, material existence will continue. This prataktvena. It's not easy to discern what's Krishna's interest. Bhishma Dev says to Yudhisthira in the Bhagavatam, don't try to understand Krishna's intention. Great sages, rishis, yogis, scholars, they've tried, and they can't understand. So you're not going to understand the intention of Krishna, why Krishna does what he does. Some things you can understand, but some things are just inexplicable. So what to do? He gives a formula what to do. Very simple formula. There's codes of scripture. Follow them. Follow them under the guidance of qualified Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, and dedicate those activities to the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. That's it. If you're missing in any one of those three areas, correct it. If you're performing in those three areas, accept what are the circumstances that comes your way. That's the results department that's in Krishna's hand, and ours is the servant service department. We just serve properly and count on the fact that Krishna is merciful and his plan is better than our plan. Although privately we may be muttering something, I don't like that plan. Accept his plan. So that's Jiva Goswami's message on this principle of Atma Nivedana or Atma Nikshepa. So now we'll go through three songs. One of them will be sung, but I'll just review quickly this second principle of Atmanivedana, or dedication of the self. And we think the self, it means all three, body, mind, and words. Because you give the soul, then the body and the mind should follow. So, I'll just summarize. Read the translation, little comment. Praneshwar, O Lord of my life, how shall I tell you of my shameful story? There is no sin which I have not committed thousands of times and more. Talking ugly to my teachers. I don't know where this came from. Evil thoughts, stealing. My life in this world has only been one of affliction and torment as a result of all those sins. Who is there to blame for this misery? At the time, I did not consider the consequences, but now in the aftermath, I seek to be saved. The submission follows the acknowledgement of the first part, the dānya part. After judging my sins, you will surely punish me befittingly, and I shall suffer the pangs of rebirth in this world. I only pray that, as I come and go through repeated births and deaths, my mind will ever dwell at your lotus feet as I keep the company of your devotees. So those of you that are familiar with the Bhagavatam, you recognize the source of this verse in this Atmanivedana song. It's the Tate Nukampam Susamik Shimano verse from the 10th canto Bhagavatam. I'll accept the reaction that's due to come to me, but fix my mind upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord unflinchingly. And Mahaprabhu's statement, Janma Jamani Shore Bhavatad Bhakti Rahaitaki Twayi Shikshastakam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not a creative writer. He's taking the message from the scripture. I mentioned that the first essay that he wrote on the Bhagavatam, that first essay he wrote explains that, very brilliant essay. Great literature of any culture is simply drawing from scripture. And it's just retelling what scripture says in contemporary language. He takes as an example John Milton, who at the time was a British writer, so his audience was influenced by British intellectuals, Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. He said it's just the Bible retold. Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. This tells it in contemporary language. So he did the same in his own writings, like Jiva Dharma. You know, it's a contemporary story. It's just taking the scripture and retelling the scripture through a contemporary story, etc. So here he's just taking scripture and presenting in a distilled, capsulized, palatable form, very nice songs, very powerful message from the scripture and from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I offer this judicious prayer at your feet. The pride of my heart has gone far away. That pride, by the way, taken from Bhakti, from Jiva Goswami, is the sense of independence, the sense of seeking happiness apart from Krishna's happiness. And then one becomes proud of having done so and whatever is accomplished by that. The pride in my heart has gone far away. Humility has, pridelessness has replaced it. You who are so kind to the meek, your spotlessly pure mercy has become Bhaktivinoda's only hope. Again, Jiva Goswami's hope against hope or Asha Bhanda. The hope is the merciful nature of Krishna. And thank God he's merciful. Thank Krishna for being Krishna. Merciful Krishna. Because he's very merciful. And the meek shall inherit the kingdom of God. You've heard that one before. So that's his position. So that's one of the Atmanivedana songs. We're going to cover two more. This is song number 8. It starts with Atmanivedana. Tua Pade Kodi. Now, so this is the first one. He surrendered. Now he's reveling in the reciprocation of Krishna from that surrender. I have become supremely happy by surrendering myself at your lotus feet. Sorrow has gone far away, and there are no more cares. All I see is joy in the four directions. Your two lotus feet are reservoirs of immortal nectar that grant freedom from both sorrow and fear. Resting in them, I have found peace and have completely given up the fear of worldly existence. Now these things, Shoka, Moha, and Maya, we heard this morning from Vyasadeva's realization that when the higher stages of bhakti, love for Krishna, awaken from the hearing process that we're trying to immerse ourselves in, that these unwanted things, they're uprooted completely. So he's progressed substantially on the path of bhakti just from this surrender. I shall render service in your household and never endeavor to enjoy the fruits of that service. Of course, this is your household means the place where he lives, his ashram. We're going to hear in just a moment, he's dedicated his home to Krishna. It's Krishna's home. So I, Grahastha Bhakti Vinod Thakur, reside in Krishna's home. I'm the tenant, he's the owner. I'm occupying, just like the body, we're occupying the body, but it's Krishna's property. The home is Krishna's, everything is Krishna's property. That's Atmanivedana. Rather, I shall strive for whatever pleases you, being fully enamored by your lotus feet. This detachment from the false sense of proprietorship is the result of this angi, this one thing. And stay there and continue the dedication unto the position of being in Krishna's service. Even we're in this dark place that has its dualities, too much of the darker side sometimes. All the troubles encountered in your service shall be the cause of great happiness, Queen Kunti. For in your devotional service, joy and sorrow are equally great riches. Both destroy the misery of ignorance. For a devotee, if you're not a devotee, there's going to be hardship. If you're a devotee, there's going to be hardship. But when the hardship comes when you're a devotee, it's a happiness. not the hardship itself is a happiness, but sacrificing for the happiness of Krishna is the happiness. If you forget the happiness of Krishna part, then it's misery. I wish I had more time. This is a very wonderful and a very important message, because, gee whiz, we're all in the material world, and we all know what, you know, conflict and dissension and quarrel and hypocrisy and, you know, Kali Yuga stuff. We all know what that is. Now, how do we face it? Which is Raja Bhakti's two times over question. How do you stay centered in that position of keeping Krishna's shelter? Well, you have to keep Krishna's shelter. Otherwise, you just get washed away by the current of the material energy. And it's not, Maya's not gentle. She's very rough. Durga. Very difficult. But for the devotee, very nice illustration to accompany this verse, Prabhupada's suffering his heart attacks in the Jaladutta. And then take it the other way around. Krishna's receiving the arrows of Bhishma. He was taking it as ecstasy. Arjuna was thinking, oh, terrible. Krishna's getting arrows in his chest. Krishna's thinking, ah. So we don't want Krishna to have difficulty on our behalf. We don't want to dump our troubles at Krishna's feet. You please take care of my taxes and my troubles. But essentially in the Manasa Deha Geha, that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. I'll do the service of taking care of these things, but it's in your service. Anybody that's trying to do something, I mean, we've all tried to do something. You tried to do something, and there's a difficulty in that something. Anyway, accepting difficulty in the course of Krishna's service is another happiness. It's something like, very similar to, the love of a mother for the child. The child may make a mess. Sometimes children make a mess. The children may make noise. Sometimes they make noise. They're always making messes and noise and stuff. And mothers are quite happy with that. As I heard one mother recently say, I'm used to it. And I said, I'm not. Screaming and babbling and... Anyway. But mothers like it. They like cleaning bottoms and cooking and all the things that mothers do. It's part of motherhood. They're happy doing that nice service. It's part of the happiness of motherhood. So the happiness of being a servant is there's challenges and there's difficulties, and it's quite okay. Both destroy the misery of ignorance. I have completely forgotten all of my past history by feeling in my mind the great joy of your service. I am indeed yours, and you are truly mine. That's this mamata message. What need is there of any other treasure? Beautiful painting. Gopa Kumar returning back to Goloka and meeting Krishna. Bhaktivinoda sinks deeply into the ocean of pure bliss by engaging in your service. He devotes all his efforts according to your wishes while living in your house. So now we're going to... We're not going to have time to do everything. So we'll sing one song. She'll sing one song. Manasa Deha Geha. Oh, you'll sing the song? Okay, fine. This is a very famous, at least within ISKCON, much loved song. In these Sharanagati songs. Just sing it once through. We don't have time for more.
Yeah.
famous song, the dedication, Atma Nikshepa. In this case, it's body, mind, and family, Manasa Deha Geho, and whatever else may be mine. The sense is you dedicate yourself, that then you, it follows, you dedicate what's mine. I and mine. If I am yours, it follows. Everything that I used to think is mine is yours. So it starts with dedication of self, and then follows mine. Because I've surrendered. In good fortune or in bad. Sound like a marriage vow. In life or in death. All my difficulties have disappeared. Because what were those difficulties? They were in the mind. Like this Avanti Brahman story. You're probably familiar with that. Or at least some of you are familiar with that from Uddhava Gita. Uddhava wants to know, what's the source of misery? And the answer is the mind. Misery happens in the mind. It's not only a Vedic understanding, Benjamin Franklin understood it. Benjamin Franklin said, in my life there were many, many miseries. Fortunately, most of them never happened. Meaning the misery is in the mind. And reading something as misery is in the mind. That's if you say no to Krishna. If you say yes to Krishna, then it's like the other song that we heard. Good fortune, ill fortune, they're both part of our relationship with Krishna and his guiding us how to deal with the place of duality in which we live. Or as Queen Kunti saw the miseries as causing an impetus for further surrender, and then Krishna would come and we could see Krishna, and then all the miseries were gone because there's no more birth and death by seeing Krishna. So bring the miseries, because then we'll get beyond miseries. That is, we'll get Bhava Darshana, your association. Same as Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam. Slay me or protect me as you wish, for you have full authority over your eternal servant. It is, if it is your wish that I be born again, then I, may I take birth in the home of your devotee. And same idea. If I become Lord Brahma, that's averse to bhakti, no thank you. Better, I just become a worm. If I can just be with the devotees. Another song is become a dog, kukur, in the house of a devotee. Instead, I yearn for Bhaktisiddhanta's association, or association of those devotees who are completely devoid of all desire for worldly enjoyment, liberation. You're everything for me. Different, all happiness of all different world relations can be found within relation with Krishna. Or say it the other way. All other relations, that real happiness in them is, the center is Krishna. And otherwise, it's not real happiness. Bhaktivinoda says, oh, Kana, please hear me. Oh, Lord of Radha, you are my life and soul. This is the dedication. I am yours. Life and soul. Everything that's mine and me is yours. Dedication. Well, we have a fabulous 20 minutes left. And four more of the limbs of surrender to go, and we're not going to cross the finish line. There's a few more songs just like to point to. But just, if you recall the series of six, there's dainya, humility, and then submission, body, mind, and words, everything to Krishna. Then there are these two that go together, the two middle ones. Krishna, you're my master. Krishna, you're my protector. and the master is, you are my maintainer. We spoke about this morning. The materialist is thinking, I'm maintaining myself. And the devotee is thinking, I'm working for Krishna and Krishna is maintaining me. He's the master, I'm serving the master, and my master is maintaining me. The fellow with the office, he thinks, he's maintaining me, my employer. He's not maintaining me. He's being maintained by the master, Krishna. I'm tempted to tell it an anecdote. I'll make it really fast. I was riding in a train in India, traveling from Mayapur to go to the next place I was going. It was an overnight train from Calcutta. Got on the train, and the system that I've learned in riding night trains is you take rest early, as soon as possible, and wake up early while everyone's still snoring away, take a bath, chant japa where everything's quiet, and then when they get up and start drinking their tea and reading the newspaper, you can be reading your book. So that's what I was doing. So I got up early and chanted. And then, so there was the first class compartment, the fellow across the way, because on the lower tier, and he got up and, you know, did the three things. Brush your teeth, get some tea, get a newspaper. 1, 2, 3. So he got his newspaper out, did the first two, held his newspaper in his hand, looked across the train at me, and said, so, you need money? I can understand right away where he's coming from. You're a parasite. You're living after the sweat and blood of people like me. You parasite. He didn't say that. He just said the other thing. And I said, I've been a full-time member of this organization for 40 years, and like you, I work very hard. You might be surprised how hard I work. I've been up for 4 hours before you got your newspaper and your tea. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I was thinking that. I've just been at a GBC meeting. You don't know what that's like. Whew. I didn't say that either. So then he said, so the first question is, do you need money? Krishna, you know, so we work hard in serving Krishna. Then he said, so where do you get your money? And I said, from the same place you do. It's like, you know, Prahlad to Hiranyakashipu. The difference is, you're thinking that it's from your hard labor that your money is coming. And I would wager that I work as hard as you do, or harder. But the difference is, I'm understanding that Krishna is that's maintaining both of us, and you're not understanding that. That was the end of the conversation. He took his newspaper and flipped it up and like, I don't want to look at you. Which was fine with me, because I didn't want to look at him either. And just read the Bhagavatam. It was, you know, the nice lesson. As far as maintenance is concerned, the materialist is thinking, it's my hard labor. And it's not just, you know, a materialist from India. It's, you know, the Protestant ethic is work hard. That's the Protestant ethic. Work hard and you'll prosper. That's, you know, America was built on that ethic. And people work really hard. And they prospered. You know, it works, as far as they were concerned. And then the misfortune is, after they prosper, God was left in the garbage bin. They built churches, and then they abandoned the churches because now they got their prosperity. So the Hare Krishnas came along and bought a lot of churches that were nice churches, because we weren't depending upon just the hard labor, but depending upon Krishna and hearing the chanting. So let's see if I can get the next song. So that's this next section. Goptritvay, or accepting the Lord as one's sole master, maintainer, excuse me. Master, maintainer. We're working for him. He's the master. The master maintains the servant. A good master doesn't exploit the servant. The good master, Prabhupada explained, the good master treats the servant like a family member. He tells stories about that. Time doesn't permit. So there's an intimacy in being the servant of Krishna. There's a strength beyond our own strength in being the servant of Krishna. This humility doesn't mean one is a coward or timid. Prabhupada told the story, their devotees were in Calcutta and he saw the monument to Victoria, Queen Victoria, the Queen Victoria Arch or whatever it is. And Prabhupada said, when I was a small boy, they were building this monument. And I climbed the scaffolding all the way to the top. Little boy. And one of the devotees said, Prabhupada, you must have had a lot of courage to climb, little boy, climb all that scaffolding. It's a big monument. Prabhupada said, I've always had courage and I still have courage. Otherwise, I couldn't have come to your country and did what I did. So, humility doesn't mean timid. You may be bold and courageous, but your feeling, just as that summary Jiva Goswami said, there's one who is worthy of being served and is very merciful, and I'm not so qualified. I'm unqualified. So the servant sees the master as one who is extending everything that one requires, exactly as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. I preserve what they have and carry what they lack. He's the maintainer of his dear devotee. Tumi Sarveshvara. O youthful son of the king of Vraja, you are the lord of all lords. According to your will, creation and destruction take place in the universe. According to your will, Lord Brahma creates, and according to your will, Lord Vishnu maintains. According to your will, Lord Shiva destroys, and according to your will, Maya constructs the prison house of this world. His will is pretty powerful. According to your will, the living beings take birth and die, and according to your will, they meet with prosperity and ruin, happiness and sorrow. The tiny soul, bound up by Maya, vainly struggles in the fetters of worldly desire. Without your sanction, he is unable to do anything. But Krishna is especially kind to one who surrenders to him and takes shelter of him and depends on him and calls to him. You are my only protector and maintainer, except for your lotus feet. There is no other hope for me. No longer confident in my own strength and endeavor, I become solely dependent on your will. Bhaktivinoda is most poor, and his pride has been leveled. It's a nice expression. Now, in accordance with your will, he lives and dies. Prabhupada taught us that pride is pervasive. Everyone in the material world is proud. He said, even a pauper is proud of his penny. You have something and you're proud of that something and you want that something to become more than something and have two somethings. And pride and greed, these gateways to hell. But everyone has them in the material condition, in forgetfulness of Krishna. We have them. And they're, as we heard, they're mountains between us and Krishna. How are these things going to be removed? Mission impossible. And that's where humility comes in. We can't accomplish all these nice things. All these nice things about shelter in Krishna and try to do it. I invite you, when we, very soon we're going to end, we'll have kirtan. Please stay in the kirtan and bring your mind to the holy name and watch how long it can remain there. And when the mind starts to wander, you try to bring it back and you try to bring it back and you try to bring it. So maybe your mind will stay for a while. And then it'll start to wander and you try to bring it back and you'll come to the point or the 32 round day tomorrow morning. And some of the japa is going to be very nice and some of it's going to be mechanical. And when it's mechanical, try to make it nice. It without humility means on my own, I can't do this. Exactly. My pride has been leveled. My attempts to achieve something independent, confident in my own strength and endeavor is gone. That's this, exactly what this Atmanivedana principle also taught, according to Jiva Goswami. Thinking independent. Well, no, materialistic people don't like to hear that. You're a loser. Or other language. You're brainwashed. You know, something. It takes, for a devotee, in that atmosphere, it takes greater conviction and courage and intelligence to take shelter of Krishna than it does to just to be a materialist. You have to have stronger intelligence to be a devotee than to be a materialist. We're swimming upstream, where the current is moving very fast downstream. So there has to be some core conviction, faith in Krishna and our relationship with Krishna. And your light has to be on. You can't be mechanical or complacent or, you know, just going along with the party. There has to be some independently thoughtful contemplation on what our real position is, and then striving for that, realizing I can't do this on my own. Humility rises. Calling upon Krishna for his mercy rises. This submission unto Krishna. Now let me dedicate my, because then that's the next one. You are my maintainer. You are my everything. And then sequentially what follows is, you're my protector. We mentioned, I have to wrap up, so protection is the strongest of the animal propensities, defending or protecting. And to place Krishna in the position of protecting, we do service, but the capacity to protect is dependent upon Krishna, like Prabhupada would say. Parents may take all precaution with their children. They still may have an accident. What can you do? If someone has the illness, you find the best doctor. No best doctor, no amount of money can guarantee the doctor's going to cure the patient. All good intention. We do service, but ultimately we're dependent upon Krishna to protect us. We take intelligent as best we can with the resources and faculties given to us. We serve. But the inner consciousness is, Krishna is my protector. Krishna is my maintainer. Krishna is my dear most friend. And then the final two are, In pursuance of all of those, things that are favorable, I accept. And things that are unfavorable, I reject. And that's partly where some difficulty lies. The things that are unfavorable, we kind of hold on to some of them. And we need to go beyond holding on to some of them and let go and place that which is favorable instead and leave those things that are unfavorable so there's only one place, Krishna's lotus feet. If we want to go beyond birth and death, if we want to receive the holy name, the love of God that comes with the holy name that Lord Chaitanya wanted to give us, we have to say yes according to his indication and the indication of scripture and sadhu and the devotees of the Lord. So we have just a few minutes, see if there's some discussion. Hopefully these things you will remember in the course of course during the kirtan will be good practice, and then I'll do this. For tomorrow, for those who have not been with us for these, what we're going to do Sunday morning, tomorrow morning, call it 32 round day, we'll have the same temple schedule, Mangal Arati, Guru Puja, Tulsi Puja and everything. But please, this is an important item, maintain silence, Mona Vrata, and you'll find it'll be very helpful. And conversely, if you don't, it'll be distracting for others and yourself. So we'll have, it's on the schedule, but I'm saying it now, it's in big letters. Mona Vrata, please. So that up until we have our break, even when we go for breakfast, Mona Vrata, having breakfast, Mona Vrata, you don't have to have breakfast. And lunch, and then we'll stop at a certain time and have some sharing, and then you can break Mona Vrata. But please observe that. It will be a very helpful tool. You'll see, those of you that haven't done that. And I'll remind you tomorrow morning. So any comments or questions? Yes. Speak, please.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Okay, yeah, I heard you.
Maharaj, in this world, one hankers for the, or aspires for the material happiness due to the forgetfulness of the miseries that he has undergone. And even in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, one who remembers or the intelligence is the source of it.
He is so, which?
He is the source of remembrance and intelligence.
Yes, he is.
So I have two questions, Maharaj. So when Jiva undergoes this forgetfulness, how does he understand it's a Krishna factor or the self factor?
He doesn't. When he undergoes forgetfulness, Krishna is out of the picture. That's forgetfulness. He doesn't understand Krishna's position. Is that your question?
Yeah.
He's covered.
So the follow-up question is, why Krishna makes jivas to forget?
He doesn't make them. We want. He says, no. We say, yes, I want to forget. You have a son. Little older one, not the little one. And does he sometimes say no? You wish him to do something and he sometimes wants to do something else. Sometimes. Maybe once a year or something like that. So, you wish, as the father, or the well-wishing father, that he does something that's beneficial, uplifting, and wholesome. And he may want to do something that doesn't have that, and it goes the other direction. Now what are you going to do? What Krishna does is, he enters our heart and he tries to indicate to us, do the wholesome, do the uplifting and beneficial. He sends representatives. he canvasses, come to the wholesome side. But if we insist, go into darkness, he provides it. Forgetfulness is there because we want to forget. We want independent enjoyment. It doesn't exist. Like water in a desert. It doesn't exist. We want water in a desert. It doesn't exist. So he creates illusion. That's the forgetfulness. He's reciprocating with our wish to forget him. Okay? One more, and then I think we're going to end and have kirtan.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. One thing I learned from this lecture is that we should not expect the fruit of service. But can we at least expect the reciprocation of Krishna?
Yeah, and we can expect Krishna's mercy. It may come this way, it may come that way. That we can expect. Krishna's mercy. But the fruit may not be as we're expecting. So that's a false expectation. We anticipate, like with bhakti, that the heart will become cleansed because Krishna says it. And he's merciful, so it will happen. But how it will happen may not be as we expect. Do you have something specific in mind?
Not specific, but the conclusion is that it doesn't matter what Krishna does to us, we remain his servant.
Yes.
What does Krishna's reciprocation really mean? Because what he does to us doesn't matter. So how does Krishna show his reciprocation? I think you already answered.
How does Krishna show his reciprocation?
Does reciprocation really mean?
What it means is his kindness, and the form that it takes may be anything he wants it to be. Because he wants what's best for us. So supposing we're attached. Do you know anybody that's attached, like yourself? Do you know to some things? You know some people that have a little attachment. So Krishna may reciprocate with either offering you the opportunity for the object of attachment and see what you're going to do, or denying the opportunity for that object of attachment to see what you're going to do. Either way, from Krishna's side, it's his kindness to help you. The kindness may come in as his best intelligence understands what's going to help us come to him. That's if behind the attachment is this other desire that says, I want to come to him. His kindness will come. And however he wishes it to come. And that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. I'm fully dependent upon your will. Okay, we'll end there. And I hope you will all stay for the kirtan. It's probably the best, one of the best parts of this whole weekend. We flew in Jai Jagannath specifically to have this happen. So stick around. Get your musical instruments or clapping or whatever you want to do. How do you want everyone to assemble in a circle or face the deity, or you're the...